afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. One of the ways we do that is we invite our friend Dr. Troy on the show once a month. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We take your questions, and it's just an amazing time because we both agree so much that God wants you to flourish, and He wants you to partner with Him in this. And I always go back to that story of the guy on the mat in John 5, I think it is, and Jesus says, "Do you want to be well?" And his first two words out of his mouth were, "I can't," and then he explains why, "I can't." And that's actually what my next book is on. It's just partnering with God so that we can flourish, and God wants us to partner with Him. There are adjustments we can make that can make all the difference, and it could be our diet, our bedtime, just the way we frame our disappointments. And that's why we have Dr. Troy on every month. 877-933-2484. Also want you to know today, thanks to Bethany House, we're giving away 10 copies of my editor Andy McGuire's gorgeous new coloring book. He's an amazing artist. All Things Bright and Beautiful. It's a creation coloring book. So great. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget the mailing address. And if you want to throw in a question for the doc, you can do that as well. Okay, we've got Ann checking in from Woodbury. Laurel, you'll be on next. Hey, Ann, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. I'm wondering if the doc has any information or has had any information about Isagenix. It is a nutritional plan helping the body get rid of cortisol, of
We've used that or checked it out in the past. It's a nutritional company, so pretty familiar with that. And we've seen other people use it effectively. We don't use it at our clinic. It's not one ones we chose to bring in for various reasons. But we've seen good results with other people and going through it. And some of the distributors that use it, we've actually seen some of those good positive changes. So I have patients that have used it. We don't use it at our clinic per se, but we've seen good changes with it. So there's a lot of different nutritional companies and products and out there. And so in functional medicine, we try to fill a lot of the holes. And then there are different areas that need supplement support more for to help supplement a good healthy lifestyle. So that very familiar with the company, but don't use it per se. Nothing good or bad to say about it at this point.
Very good. 877-933-2484. We've got Laurel checking in from St. Paul. Hey, Laurel, thanks for holding.
Hi, Susie.
Hey.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much for your program. You're doing such a good job helping people, and I just really appreciate you. And
thank you.
Thank you so much on behalf of all your listeners.
Thank you so much. Wow, I love that. I love that because that was about me, Dr. Troy. Did you?
Yes, I heard that.
Can we just rest for just a minute? Okay, you can go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead and ask the doc your question.
Thank you, dear. Dr. Troy, you're great, too. I'm so glad you're on, and thank you so much for all you do. My question is, I've been fasting for years, but I've noticed in the past I could fast up to, 20 or 24 hours, and lately it's been harder. I try to fast once a week, and now today I've been trying to fast since last night, and I've gone for about 15 hours, but now I feel the cravings come, and I'm getting hungry. Does that help to fast 15 or 17, even 18 hours, or is that defeating the purpose? And can you give me any assistance of what to do about the cravings?
Yeah, so absolutely, it still helps. If you've been in that routine and you're noticing it's getting harder to fast, then I would question a couple different areas. The adrenal glands are the most important one again. So, and part of that conversation is reactive hypoglycemia. So one of the things you can do is check your blood sugar. And if it's dropping too low, and we're even talking resting blood sugar that's consistently below 75, and if it starts getting really low in the 40s and 50s, then you could be really having some challenges there. So check your blood sugar first. You can go get that at any pharmacy, just a little finger prick blood test kit, and check that and see if there's a problem there. You can also get your adrenals assessed. As we age, especially as we get through menopause, the adrenal glands, just the fact of going through menopause, if you're there yet or past that, the adrenal glands have to take on an extra load for production of estrogen, and that's also quite stressful on them. So many times your adrenal glands need support. Protein is one of the best things you can do to support the adrenal glands and managing the blood sugar, minimizing stress as well and making sure you're sleeping throughout the night. So then it becomes easier to get the fasting part of it. But if you've made this a regimen your entire life, you may not need it as much as other people. And so the shorter fasts are quite appropriate. So I would keep looking at supporting the adrenal glands, the blood sugar regulation, and if you want to do more fasting. But that is a sign and a signal that something is going on there. One other component is fiber. So when you add fiber to your regimen, not the fasting regimen, but in general, we have to generally increase our fiber as we age because we want to pull in more of the water into our digestive tract. And 20 grams a day minimum of fiber really is the starting point. And a lot of times we start eating less as we age, and our digestive system is not as reactive. And so fiber is something that will actually minimize the sugar cravings a little bit. If it doesn't, you can really look at the adrenal glands as the main culprit here.
All right. So Anne called back and wanted to know, just to follow up on the isogenics, could that be causing thyroid levels to rise? That's what she wanted to know if you could comment on. Could that supplement cause thyroid levels to rise?
Well, they have a bunch of different supplements. So there's a program. I'm not familiar enough with the product line. I'd have to look at the ingredients list of what she's taking. So generally, I'm going to speak in general terms here. If you discontinue something for 2 weeks and your symptoms normalize and then you go back on it and it happens again, that's a good way to tell if it's influencing it or not. Hmm. So sometimes a lot when you go through detoxes or you're working on the body, sometimes you have negative reactions to it because it's you're going through a detox and it's a good thing. Other times you have negative reactions and it means you have to stop it. So there's some discernment there. And I have seen people go through those types of programs and their body starts working a little better. And so if they're taking thyroid medication, sometimes the levels have to be tweaked because you don't need as much of it. So there's variables. So the answer, I guess, is that it's a possibility, but there's too many unknowns to really answer it. But hopefully you can stop it for 2 weeks and then see if things clear up and then bring it back if they do clear up and see if the symptoms return.
Very good. I think it's Kara checking in from Minneapolis. Hi, Kara.
Hi, Susie. Hi, it's Kara. You got it right the first time.
Yay. Good to have you on the air today. You got a question
Thank
for
you.
The doc?
Yeah, I just had a question. It's related to sleep. I tend to be pretty disciplined with my bedtimes for the most part, especially during the week. And then occasionally on the weekends, I'll stay up just a tad later, but nothing crazy. But I find that in the autumn and in moving into the winter, I'm just like a little bear that doesn't want to get out of her den. Like, I just want to stay in my bed, even if I'm getting kind of the same amount of sleep. And I'm just wondering, is that normal? Or if so, why does our body do that?
Hmm. That's a really good question. I would love to get the answer to that because I see that and recognize it. So I'm going to go through just some of the observations I have. But that's actually one of the things that is on an ongoing list of trying to understand that a little bit better because I do witness that myself. And so if there's anyone out there who has theories or knows what's going on, go ahead and send that in. But this is what we see. A lot of times there are changes with the seasons that influence our body. And so we see the same type of intestinal disorders every spring and every fall. And so the change in the season does influence us quite a bit. So some people are more sensitive to the temperature outside, and that can influence our internal physiology, if you will, how the blood is circulating. Some people are more sensitive to the light. And so if you travel to Alaska during certain times of the year and would experience the same thing out of season, then we know it's more of a light sensitivity scenario. So our skin and our receptors in the skin do communicate, and the bacteria in the skin actually do communicate with what's happening internally. So we know there's a communication occurring there. So if it's something that's happening a lot, it's probably going to be linked more to the temperature outside, the pressure or barometric pressure around us, because same thing as when people have arthritis, they can tell when a storm's coming. we have certain nerves that become more sensitive because of the arthritis. They're closer to the threshold, so they can feel the pressure changes in the atmosphere. But for seasonal stuff like that, it really plays into the amount of light, the temperature outside, and the changes in pressure. And sometimes there's gravitational changes. And we see that with full moons and things like that. The just slight increase in gravitation will affect the tides in the oceans. And the people who have a little bit more sensitivity with the brains, and that's be the elderly and the kids, we see a lot more ADD-type behaviors from kids with full moons because of the effect of gravity on their brain. So it'll be something in that conversation as far as why it happens. And so to correct it, I don't know if you do. I think you'll leave it and stay in your little cubbyhole for now if everything else is good. Otherwise, identifying, you can try a seasonal affective disorder light. And if that seems to change that response, then you know it's more of the issues with the light versus darkness scenario. So certain people are just more sensitive to that type of scenario. So I've read other theories. Nothing has really hit home with me just yet on that. So love the question because it shows a heightened awareness, which is one of the things I like to preach about. And so this is a person that's very in tune with their body.
So Dr. Troy is so proud of our listeners today. Aren't they all? I mean, really, they're all very in tune with their bodies. That's what I love so much. And may God give us all wisdom about just next steps we need to take. You know, maybe something worked for you before, but it doesn't work for you now. Maybe something you could eat before, but it's bugging you now. Pay attention. Ask your questions. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Remember, we've got this gorgeous Bright and Beautiful, All Things Bright and Beautiful coloring book. I just can't say enough about it. I'm so impressed with it. 10 copies were given away during today's show. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. Hope you're having a fantastic day today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Every single month, we have our friend Dr. Troy in studio. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We believe so strongly that God wants you well, and he wants you to partner with him in this, right? And so questions around diet, exercise, chronic issues, immune confusion, which Dr. Troy talks about, we would love to hear your questions. 877-933-2484. You can also email Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you want your name in for the coloring book giveaway. And the coloring book, I wish I could just show you a picture of it. Isn't it nice, Dr. Troy?
It's beautiful.
It is. I'll send you home with this one. This was mine because I know people will get me another one. But Andy McGuire is my editor, and he's actually a gorgeous artist as well. And All Things Bright and Beautiful is like a creation coloring book. 10 copies we get to give away today. So if you've got a question for the doc, include that. But if you want in on the drawing, include your mailing address, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So Laurel had called in a little earlier, and she had a follow-up question for you, and I felt like this is an important one, Doc, for you to answer. She's wondering if she can add Adrenal Performance Plus pills from a health store without talking to a doctor, because you can find some of these things over the counter. What say you?
I'm a little hesitant to say yes on that, just simply because the adrenal glands, they can be complicated. So it's like a bell curve of not enough and then too much. So it becomes something you have to have a way of measuring it. So I will tell her it really is best to work with a functional practitioner who can measure it, have some way of measuring the adrenal performance, and really stick with a well-respected adrenal supplement, because there's a lot of – it's an unregulated market out there, so there's a lot of bad products, I'm going to say, as far as just the cleanliness, the purity, the quality.
Potency, I would imagine.
Potency, yeah. What's on the label is not necessarily guaranteed unless they have a third party endorsing it. So there's a lot of factors there, and so I generally – tell people when it comes to your hormones, work with the docs. So work with the doctors on that.
Very good.
Adrenals are a big part of it.
Wow. This unnamed caller, wondering where do you start with complex physical issue? Who should she listen to? Where should she go? She has swollen glands and little answers. She's wondering if you have any suggestions.
Well, again, working with someone who assesses the body as a whole, because there's a lot of different reasons for why people have symptoms. So the bottom line is all of our body works well, and then there starts to be a breakdown in communication somewhere. A breakdown in communication will lead to dysfunction, and then dysfunction leads to symptoms. And eventually, if left untreated, those symptoms can lead potentially to a disease. And so if you're looking at having a bunch of symptoms, we know there's dysfunction somewhere. So there has to be a way of assessing the entire body, or at least a region, to see what level of dysfunction is there. Now, in functional medicine, it's different than traditional medicine. If you're suspecting something more serious and it's an emergency, you go to the emergency room. If you're expecting or you're thinking it is something more serious as well, it's life-threatening or needs to be managed with medications or surgery, you go to the medical doctors. In functional medicine, they're really looking for identifying dysfunction and treating it more naturally. Sometimes there's medications.
For disease prevention.
Mm-hmm. So they're kind of two different worlds. They work well together. We're seeing a lot more functional medical practitioners working with the traditional medical doctors, and we're seeing that we're getting feedback from the traditional doctors that the types of patients that really frustrate them are in the wheelhouse of functional medicine. And in functional medicine, the types of patients that really frustrate them are in the wheelhouse of traditional medicine. So we're starting to see this complementary scenario. So you've got to, it kind of depends on where you're at in that conversation. If you're really not sure, just start with a trusted source that's going to take a complete look at your body, and you'll know if things are being connected. So people who are good at what they do in those worlds will describe, will explain why they're recommending what they're recommending, and it needs to line up with what's being measured and what you're feeling and what they're finding.
Mm, very, very, very good. I see more calls coming in, but we've got this anonymous friend who wrote in. She says, I've lived with internal hemorrhoids for at least 5 years. Once in a while, they become external. I use prescription suppositories as well as OTC creams or gels. I feel as though I'm sitting on a softball, which is extremely uncomfortable, especially long-term like this. What procedure, medicines, diet might I try to bring relief?
Most of the time, this is coming from internal issues again. So for me, the most success we have is when we go to first of all, a soft food anti-inflammatory diet. It's very, very crucial to change the pH of the digestive system, the bowel system. So we start with an anti-inflammatory diet. There's plenty of them out there. You can start with softer foods and even the vegetables that are part of it. You really cook them down versus eating them raw. So eventually when the digestive system is much more healthier, less inflamed, you can handle the raw vegetables. But in the beginning, you want to soften them, cook them down. It's all about pulling out the acidic inflammatory foods. So for example, sugar is one of the worst foods. Coffee is very acidic as well. Other things like antibiotics, if there's been a lot of use with antibiotics, can be very acidic. So we have to pull all the high acid foods out, all the high inflammatory foods out, replenish the digestive system with the good bacteria, and start rebuilding the lining of the digestive tract. For some people, they need L-glutamine. And so you start with the inside out, and you'll start to see a change with the lining of the bowels. The other part of it is, again, stress and high blood pressure can also start to cause problems with the digestive system. So if you're in a fight or flight state, you're not getting the stimulus of the brain to support the lining of the digestive tract. And so it becomes much, much easier to get a stomach ulcer or hemorrhoids distally in the colon.
Mm, all right. So we've got this one too. Any insight? When I sleep on my left side at night, it wakes me up to the point of getting out of bed because of cramping and discomfort. Why does pressure on my left side cause such frustration? I don't have to use the bathroom at the point. I'm just uncomfortable. What do you say?
Well, if it's just the left side, it depends where the cramping is occurring. If it's in the legs, usually that's actually from a rotated pelvis. And so that many people walk around with the rotation and they don't know it. So if it's in the legs, that would be the first thought process. Sometimes, though, when it's more of a digestive scenario, you can have imbalances with the stomach and the gallbladder system. So if the cramping is up in the neck or in the shoulders, then it would probably be more digestive related. But those are the two scenarios that kind of pop out. So if you've seen someone like a chiropractor and they've looked to make sure you're not rotated, then I'd look more for the digestive scenarios, especially if there's been any type of shoulder injuries or imbalances there in the past. The liver, gallbladder on the right side, especially if you're a coffee drinker, alcohol drinker, anything like that, or sugar consumer, then a lot of times we'll see some upper GI inflammation. And you can actually feel that when you push underneath the rib cage up along close to the sternum, there might be pain off to the left or pain to the right. Beyond that, there are other physical indicators as well. But cramping, left side only, a lot of people will go to magnesium deficiency and electrolyte stuff, but if it's positional like that, it has something to do with one of the upper organs or the physical. Hopefully it's just a physical imbalance in the pelvis and the upper GI, heart, and lungs are not having any issues. So we would need more information to really discern between the organ stuff, but hopefully it's just a rotated pelvis.
Mm. All right. So I'm going to try to do this. Tamara, we're going to try this, Aaron. We have a hard break, which means we will be cut off if we're still talking. So Tamara, if you can get your question in, then Doc, you can answer it on the other side of the break. So Tamara, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Troy. This is Tamara. And I had a question for you. In the last 3 years or so, I started noticing some food sensitivities that I think have been causing headaches and inflammation in my body. I've narrowed some of the foods down by using a food journal and keeping track of symptoms and things like that. But foods that I would normally have been able to eat have been causing some adverse effects, again, like inflammation and headaches.
I think we've got a minute. Do you want to say anything to her and then you're going to pick it on the other side?
Yeah, definitely. Generally speaking, if you're starting to react to more and more foods, we tend to react to foods that we are consuming during times of stress. So, I don't mean just mental stress. So it means there's something else stressing your system out. So it can be lifestyle stress. It can be a sleep disorder, which can come from a physical imbalance with the jaw, the neck, the head. It can also be some hormone imbalances. So we've got to discern what is triggering a stress response and take care of that. And then the digestive system starts to come back. Grapeseed extract is a great thing you can start taking until you get to the root cause problem.
Perfect. He's a pro, isn't he? We'll pick that up if you have more to say to her on the other side. Lots of other questions too. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
Chains are gone.
Man, sometimes you just got to hear songs like that. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We do this every single month. We've got more questions than we have time, but we're doing our best to get to them. So be patient if you're calling in. You got to be on hold for a bit. 877-933-2484. And this listener says, I've been taking nascent iodine, I don't know if I'm saying that right, so sorry, for a few years. Is that a good form of iodine, or is Lugolos better? I'm probably not helping you at all, because I'm L-U-G-O-L-S.
Yeah, I prefer that one, but okay. It's okay. And iodine is just something in general, the body does a good job of absorbing it. And so it's all about, again, are you absorbing it and being able to use it? So again, if there's any way of measuring that, the thyroid markers will tell you. So if your thyroid is checked and then rechecked and it's working, then that's great. If there's a challenge with absorption of iodine, you have one of two choices: change the form, like you're talking about, or what we now know is or a component of what we think is happening for a lot of people with iodine and thyroid disorders, they may have a problem with what's called SIBO. We talked about this on some previous shows, where there's a bacterial overgrowth challenge in the small intestine, and it can block the area of absorption potentially for the iodine. So it may not matter what type of iodine you're using. If SIBO is suspected, it needs to be treated, and then your iodine will naturally start being better absorbed.
Mm, very good. Okay, this one from a dear listener says, thanks for the great show today. Love when Dr. Troy's on. I have a crazy question for you. I have a smell in my nose. It's not pleasant, and it comes and goes. My wonderful and baffled nurse practitioners tried a couple of things, one being AVAMYS. I don't know what that is. Avimase. It seemed to work in the moment while I was on it, but when I stopped, the smell returned. Have you ever heard of this before, and do you have any ideas of what this could be from?
Well, first of all, starting locally in the nose, there could be some hidden infections in there, just low-grade ones. Getting a swab done is very important, and looking for Marcon's is something we call it, an antibiotic-resistant infection, and it can be low grade or there can be large amount. And so that is a potential indicator. Also, making sure that the nasal passages are fully moisturized. We need that moisture to be able to smell properly. And sometimes in the beginning of dehydration in that area with dry mucosal membranes, we get these smells that are not accurate. And it's basically the nerves firing off by themselves because there's not enough moisture there. For us to smell properly of what's actually around us, we need a droplet of water to attach to the molecule of what we're smelling in the air for our nerves to sense it.
Oh, wow.
Now, because those nerves actually go directly to an area of the brain too, that's real close there, it's called the hypothalamus, we can actually start to have other things influence our smells. So it's kind of like when you something reminds you of your grandmother and then you can smell the cookies she used to bake in the kitchen, that memory comes back. Certain memories have senses associated with it. So there can be a triggering neurologically. It's like a midbrain or low-grade seizure. I don't want you to hear seizure and get panicky, but it's like nerves firing simply because something else is triggering a memory, a stored memory, if you will. And so that can happen from hormone imbalance again. A little heightened stress can be a part of it. So take a look at what's happening in your life with those two scenarios, hormones and stressors. And also, are there other neurologic signs and symptoms going on? We start to pay attention to little things like looking in the mirror and noticing that one pupil is bigger than the other pupil. That's a difference. When you get your blood pressure checked, is one arm higher than the other arm? That's a difference with how the nerves are functioning. When you stand in the mirror, is one shoulder higher than the other? When we look at a lot of these physical and neurologic imbalances from side to side, we can start to discern whether or not there's a true neurologic disorder or an infection in the nose. But it'll be something within that conversation. Wow. And there's one more hidden one, teeth and gums. Sometimes you can have a problem with the teeth and gums and in the jaw that's affecting those two scenarios as well. So it's really important to help correct that jaw health, teeth and gum health too, if there's a direct challenge there.
Interesting. Okay, this one is from a listener. My questions for Dr. Troy are these. I've always been a night owl, slow to wake up no matter how much sleep I've had. Had a complete hormone panel saliva test taken 3 times in one day done about 4 years ago. Results came back that my melatonin and cortisol levels were swapped compared to how they function normally in a person. My cortisol starts out low in the day and slides down around 8 p.m. It kicks in again and swings up the slide, hence my late night energy. And my melatonin doesn't kick in much in the evening like it should. I took a cortico B5B6 for a while, haven't taken it in a while. My question is, how often should I have these hormones retested? And what would you suggest for improving morning energy? It takes me a good hour to feel like I'm fully awake, which makes it hard to get out of bed and out the door. Also, I get leg cramps in the middle of the night, wondering what to do about those. They're usually in my calves or shins. God bless you. And where can I find a doctor like you in Duluth? All right. So you can take them as you want here.
I can look at that, and we probably have a sleep disorder there. So cortico B5, B6 is a product, probably they're talking about the Metagenics product, cortico B5, B6. And that is the B vitamins, the two main B vitamins that are needed for proper adrenal gland function. And so the problem really isn't the adrenal glands, because if the melatonin and cortisol are just reversed but their levels are normal, then you want to support how the brain is regulating those hormones. So this is more of what we call an HPA axis problem. The hypothalamus and the pituitary, hypothalamic-pituitary-adrenal communication. So again, strangely enough, ashwagandha is one of the things that can influence that area of the brain. And then you also have to look at what else might be influencing the hypothalamus and the pituitary. There's a lot of other factors. Body temperature. Are you cold often, or are you chronically hot? Are you having any other hormone imbalances, estrogen, progesterone, and those ratios, insulin and blood sugar? How are those working out? By managing a lot of those hormones, you can change the feedback. Also, there's a challenge with physically making sure there isn't the sleep disorder, the upper airway resistance sleep disorder. Now, it sounds like this might be that might be a small part of it, but there will be another sleep disorder as far as just the cycles are a little bit off. And so vitamin D, it becomes relevant in this conversation. And strangely enough, there is an intestinal infection that can set up a scenario that decreases our serotonin and our dopamine, which can affect both the cortisol levels and the melatonin levels as far as how much is produced and the timing of it. So we're really dealing with a timing mechanism problem here more than levels based on the information I have. But my guess would be there would be a compromised digestive system that's affecting those neurotransmitters as well. And so it can be reversed because we see people who have night shift work, they are able to get that back once they get to a regular routine. So there are ways to do it. I would get them rechecked because 4 years ago is not relevant to today at all. So, but it's you can compare it. And when you give that this information to a functional medicine practitioner and they're able to do an exam right away on you, they can start to piece together the puzzle. One of the keys to functional medicine is time, seeing how your body has changed over time. So the more information we have with what's improved or not improved over time points us in the direction of where to go. As far as Duluth, I don't have a name for you just yet. But
let me ask you this, Doc, because we do have friends listen from all over the world. How would they search? Just functional medicine doctor?
Right now, functional medicine doctor is a good place to start, yes.
Okay, very good. All right, thank you so much for that. All right, let's see here. We've got a question from this listener. I'm 39. I've had swelling in my left knee for a few years. My right eye also swells occasionally, and my right knee sometimes swells, though these symptoms went away during pregnancy. I've been referred to a rheumatologist, but she recommended methotrexate, which I do not want to take. Recently, I had tried an autoimmune diet that was high in meat and bone broth, but I never felt worse on it. Any suggestions?
I probably need more information to keep going, but when symptoms go away during pregnancy, the one thing that stands out is you do not produce the estrogen during pregnancy. So this sounds like an estrogen dominant problem, which can trigger an autoimmune scenario, but we don't have any evidence of autoimmunity at this time. So with that amount of information, I would start investigating estrogen dominance. Now, many people who have estrogen dominance, male or female, will start to have soy sensitivities and other problems like that. And so when there's a soy sensitivity or estrogen dominance, you have to pull the hormones out. You're more sensitive to the environment around you. So exposures to estrogen-mimicking chemicals in our environment can also trigger a response. So that would be the first place I would start, because when there's excess estrogen, we tend to hold water. And so it's important to pull that estrogen out. And so there's a lot of different products that can do that. Estrogen-like detoxes. The diet is an anti-inflammatory diet, so we want to keep the sugar. Generally speaking, it's a pretty strict diet in the beginning, but you avoid wheat, dairy, corn, soy, and sugar. And it sounds like she did something similar, but if she doesn't tolerate the protein, it probably means she's not digesting it down. She has low stomach acid, which we do see with congested liver systems from estrogen dominance. So you have to look at all the other factors. A lot of times you have to do an anti-inflammatory diet where it's the white meats, chicken, turkey, and fish. Sometimes you have to take hydrochloric acid. You have to make sure the bowels keep moving. And you have to take something that helps pull the estrogens out of the body. Estrium is a good product for Metagenics. Estro Factors, Xenoprotect from Zymogen. We like to use that as well. And so there's a lot of different things that can help the liver system pull those estrogens out of the body. But it's important to, again, you can get a saliva hormone to measure that. But it sounds like that's a primary scenarios of estrogen dominance.
All right, we're going to pause and take our final break. When we come back, we've had a number of questions on a pretty regular basis about Lyme disease, and just love for you to speak to what you know about that. We're just hearing more and more reports about that, and a couple questions came in today, and I got a number of emails I still need to go through. And if you want to call, we've got a little bit more time to take some calls as well. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we'll be back in a minute. See a light that's coming for the heart that holds on. Don't give up hope. I know this health journey can be exhausting and discouraging at times. And like Dr. Troy said to me a year ago, avoid discouragement like the plague. You know what? It's bad for your soul and it's bad for your cells. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And it is another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Every month we have him on to do our best to answer your health and healing questions because we want you well. We believe God wants you well. We're going to take one more call. And then Dr. Troy has some kind of closing thoughts for us today. Hey, Jody, you're on the air.
Hi, Susie. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. I'm sitting out in this beautiful weather in Minnesota here and listening to your show as I do as often as I can. And I love when Dr. Troy is on. So
that's great.
This is my first time being able to call in and talk with him.
Good. What do you got for him today?
So on September 1st, I ended up in the emergency room with severe lower abdominal pain. Ended up being told I have diverticulitis. I'm 57 years old, super healthy, never really had anything like this before. My mother did, unfortunately, have it, so I don't really know if it's hereditary, but I do know my mother had it, and hers was severe, where she had to have some of her colon removed, and I don't want to ever go there. And so I just want to know from his viewpoint would be my best diet to follow. I just went and picked up the book Whole 30. Someone told me that might be good to read and think about. I am a super healthy eater, but I also was told not to eat nuts. But then my Minnesota gastroenterologist said, no, we don't believe in that. You can eat nuts. And because I'm a real big nut person, kind of a nutty kind of gal. So I just want to know what I should do going forward and how much probiotics I should, because of the terrible medicine I had to take during that time. I want that out of my system. So what he would suggest.
Yeah, it sounds like you're on top of it with the probiotics. That becomes very, very important. With diverticulitis, it really becomes about the inflammatory component to it. And for me, I understand what he's saying as far as the nuts, but I unfortunately do see that that any undigested foods have the potential to irritate the lining or get trapped in little pockets, which can cause the diverticulitis part of it. So some people can get away with it, some people can't. So I still think you should observe the nuts and see if they're an irritant. If this is your first episode, then it's probably not that significant. There's a little bit of unfortunate scenarios that can happen. The actual diet, it really depends on you and the scenario that's going on. The low FODMAPs diet is a good one. The Whole 30 is going. You can get away with that one as well. That wouldn't be such a bad idea. And for me, you really want to get the reactivity of the lining of the digestive tract handled. So if your blood vitamin D levels are lower than they should be, then that is a really important game changer for how your immune system reacts at the lining of the digestive tract. So it's all about the probiotics and vitamin D, making sure that's good to get and reestablish the colon health. Not this. This sounds very gross, but they're doing fecal transport as far as taking the good bacteria from other people, and they're doing a lot of research on that. And for diverticulitis, so we're seeing some some potential there as well. But what that tells me is that you have to get the biome healthy. So you have to make sure that the good bacteria really have a place to survive and thrive there. And prebiotics and predigested foods are very, very healthy for that. And that sounds very different because when you say low FODMAPs, that's the exact opposite with fermented food. But it's all about just getting the inflammation down in the beginning and then reestablishing the good bacteria there. Identifying any food reactants is very important. Minimizing your stressors is also very important for the digestive tract. And just making sure that you're able to have regularity when it comes to bowel movements and that you're actually digesting the food. Now, one of the things we commonly see, again, is hypochloridia in the functional world. Hypochloridia, or low stomach acid, where you're not breaking things down properly. So we do see that with the majority of our patients. And so getting a CDSA stool study where they actually look at what are you breaking down, what are you not breaking down, that study will help determine are you having trouble with fats, proteins, or carbohydrates. And that'll start giving a little bit more clarity on how to prevent this moving forward. So unfortunately, when people say I eat healthy, that could be good, but nuts and vegetables could be part of the triggering mechanism if you're not breaking them down appropriately. So it's really about how well are you digesting the food that you're eating and what's the pH of the lining of the intestinal tract where the diverticulitis occurred in the first place. So keeping those areas as healthy as possible is really important. Vitamin D will go a long way if yours is low as well.
And that goes back to the conversation we've had so many times, Doc, where just because something's healthy in general doesn't mean it's necessarily healthy for you in a particular season.
Correct.
Of life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we've got a few minutes left. Why don't you say a word, if you would, about just more thoughts on flourishing?
Well, for me, when I look at flourishing, I ask the question, what does it look like for people in everyday life? What does flourishing look like? So let's start with flourishing in the mind. What it looks like is quick decisions. You're having your creativity come back, your ability to rest in the Lord, mm-hmm. and being able to actually take that mental break. And then the mental reserves. Do you have mental reserves or are you reactive? When it comes to flourishing, we really have the mental reserves part of it. And again, there's a lot of things in life that get in the way of that. So infections like candida, yeast, fungus, bacterial imbalances, colds, flus, hormone imbalances, food allergies, digestive disturbances can all affect that, and including sleep problems. So flourishing in the mind, there's a difference between the best of us and the worst of us. And when you have a cold or flu, you can see how the mind isn't as on top of things. But when you're able to rest in the Lord, but at the same time being so sharp and on the ball and creative and being able to problem solve, that's flourishing of the mind. We see a difference between your best days and your worst days. Flourishing the body, we look at that and what does that look like? And really it boils down to physically, what are you able to do now compared to what you used to do? Is it declined? Is it more? Aging happens, but at the same time, you want to keep comparing yourself to you, not everyone else around
Amen.
Us, because what's happening is we compare ourselves to physically to what people around us are doing, and unfortunately, the majority of people around us are unhealthy.
And letting things go.
Things go. And so it's important to compare to what you used to do and challenge yourself on that, because we've got people growing older who are doing more in their 50s and 60s than when they did in their 30s and 40s. So it's very important just to compare to yourself and use that as the gauge. The body will speak back to you. We talked about this earlier in the show. We need to listen. So our mind might be strong, our will might be strong, but the body might be sending different messages. It's important to listen. And to really, really get the mind-body connection, you have to have the mind speak at times, but listen is more important. And this is true in all aspects of life. Listening is an art that successful people do, end of story. And so it's important to listen. And we have a saying with our kids that if you get stuck in life, ask God a better question. But every time you ask a question, be prepared to stop and listen. Mm. Because you don't keep talking after asking the questions. because that's just rude.
Especially with God.
Especially with God. And then the last is flourish in the Spirit. Being in the Word and our just our journey, we talked about it earlier, our journey as Christians and pursuing that experience of flourishing, pursuing that righteousness. And I'll just say, leave it with this. God is glorified when his creation flourishes. I love that. And so our goal is to strive for that righteousness and to connect to God. And a lot of times when we're not flourishing with our mind and body, it helps distract us from flourishing with our spirit. So the mind and body gives us a lot to work on and work with when it comes to flourishing in the spirit. And I've noticed a lot of Christians spend a lot of time in the word, but then they forget the other two. And that will impact your ability to flourish in the spirit.
You know, we can't separate those parts of who we are because they're very directly connected. I mean, that's one of your goals is the what's the triad, the health triad. Don't tell me. I asked you, but I told you not to tell me. Okay, chemical, emotional,
yes.
Physical.
Yes, that's
come
right.
Come on, thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. But the connection is you know, so intricate that we try to separate those things. You think, I'm just going to read my Bible all the time and do Bible studies all the time, and God's going to zap me in my health or zap me in my mindset. But we have to renew our minds. I mean, that's a charge to us, right?
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
We're the ones who have to get our heads on the pillow at night at a consistent time.
Yes. So. Yeah, we have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, let's pause and pray if we can. I just always thank you so much for the time, Dr. Troy. I appreciate you so much. And Lord, I want to just pray for that person listening today who's weary in well-doing, who's trying everything, tried doctors, kind of like the woman with the issue of blood. You've tried everything. You've lost money. It's only made you worse. And, but that girl, if you remember, she grabbed Jesus' hem and she was healed. And I just pray that. I just pray for a miracle for that person listening today. I pray God would show you what it is you need to do, what he wants you to. Maybe it is press through the crowd. Maybe it's one more time. But I just pray, God, that you would do what only you can do in the heart of that dear one. And we pray for that would just a wave of miracles all over the place. So many of us need breakthroughs, whether it's emotionally, relationally, physically, mentally, vocationally, like Pam who called in. I ask for every single person listening today, you'd bring the breakthrough they so long for. We thank you that you are a breakthrough God. I love you. In your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again, Doc.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a
wow, what a great show today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find this today's program up in podcast form on our website at myfaithradio.com. Would love for you to be a radio missionary. If you know someone who needs to hear what Dr. Troy had to say today, we make it very shareable. With a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And he is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day, and we'll meet you back here next time.